Hey folks, the Earthlings. Welcome to Decoding the Earth, the podcast where we dig deep into the layers of our planet to uncover the fascinating stories beneath our feet and sometimes even above our heads. I'm your host, Raihan Ghani, a geologist and professor here to bring the rocks to life. Each episode, we explore how geology shapes us by shaping the world around us. Ready to decode the Earth? Let's rock. Today is a tale of two kings, two animals separated by millions of years and an ocean of difference, yet sharing the same royal title, T-Rex. One ruled the land, the other, we have just learned, ruled the sea. You know the first, Tyrannosaurus Rex, the land king, up to 43 feet long. As much as 9 tons, with a skull built like a battering ram, stalking western North America 68 to 66 million years ago. Now meet the newcomer. Recently, paleontologists at the American Museum of Natural History and the Parrot Museum, Dallas, described a giant marine reptile, a mosasaur, from fossils misidentified in museum drawers for decades. They named it Dilophosaurus rex, the jaw-dropper. It also reached 43 feet with rare serrated teeth. Some came from North Texas, including a battle-scarred giant nicknamed the Black Knight. Its snout broken in fights with its own kind. Here is where geology sets the stage. Dilophosaurus swam about 80 million years ago, and it swam through the middle of North America. Back then, a warm, shallow ocean, the Western Interior Seaway, split the continent from the Gulf of Mexico to the Arctic. High sea levels and a sinking interior flooded the heartland. The chalky floor of that vanished sea is the very rock that now entombs these monsters across Texas and the Great Plains. One king's territory was dry land, the other's an inland sea. Now the versatility of evolution. Two animals both called T-Rex. Surely close cousins? Not at all. Tyrannosaurus was a dinosaur on the branch leading to crocodiles and birds. Dilophosaurus was closer to today's monitor lizards and snakes. Their common ancestor was some unremarkable reptile, hundreds of millions of years earlier. From that shared start, evolution took two separate paths and arrived at the same job, giant apex predator. That's convergent evolution. Life solving the same problem twice from different raw material. And habitat did the sculpting, right down to how each king was born. The land king fought gravity, so it stood on two pillar-like legs and ran across floodplains. And like a good reptile, it produced the classic way. It laid hard-shell eggs on dry land. The sea king couldn't. Dilophosaurus had traded legs for four flippers. With a streamlined body and a tail flattened into a paddle, a 43-foot giant that simply couldn't haul itself ashore to nest the way a sea turtle does. And it couldn't lay eggs in the water either. A shell egg is like a tiny lung, and the embryo inside has to breathe oxygen through the shell. So a submerged egg would suffocate. So the marine king solved it the only way left. It gave birth to live young, right there in the open ocean. It still had to surface to breathe air, but everything about its body, even the way it gave birth, was tuned for the sea. Same crown, opposite blueprints, because land and water write very different rules. Which brings us to the land king's most ridiculed feature, those tiny arms. Why would a 9-ton predator have arms barely longer than yours? A new 2026 study from University College London and Cambridge examined 82 meat-eating dinosaurs and found a clear pattern across five separate lineages. As the skull and jaws grew more massive, the arms shrank. It's a trade-off. Use it or lose it. When you can kill by leading with a head that delivers one of the strongest bites in Earth history, you don't need grasping arms. The skull became the weapon. So here are our two kings, land and sea, each atop its world. Then 66 million years ago, geology pulled the rug out. A 6-mile-wide asteroid struck what's now the Yucatan, blasting the Chicxulub crater, while the Deccan Traps volcanoes were already stressing the planet. The KPG mass extinction followed. The Land King's dynasty, gone. The marine reptile dynasty Tylosaurus belonged to, gone. One catastrophe emptied both thrones at once. And we can find that very moment in the rocks. A thin, worldwide layer of iridium. Now the familiar twist. In the wreckage, the small survivors got their chance, the mammals. They had lurked in the shadows of giants for over 100 million years. And some were already thriving before the impact. But with the apex predators wiped off the board, mammals radiated into every empty niche. From those survivors came primates, and eventually us. We are the current king of the food chain, a mammal at the top. And that leaves a thought. Both T-Rexes reigned for millions of years, far longer than we have. And neither saw the end coming. Their reign was not ended by a stronger predator, but by the planet itself, an asteroid and a volcanic spasm, pure geology. Here is our difference. We are the first apex predator that can read the rock record, that can see what happened to the kings before us. The first that could spot an incoming asteroid and try to nudge it aside. The first that can measure how we are changing our own climate. Geology grants the crown, and geology can revoke it. The two T-Rexes never learned that lesson. We can. The question is whether we will use it. Thanks for listening to Decoding the Earth. Follow the show, leave a rating, and share it with anyone who thought there was only ever one T-Rex. Until next time, stay curious and keep looking down. A special thanks to Professor and Geologist Nahid Ghani for directing and producing this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us on social media to stay up to date and all things geology. See you next time on Decoding the Earth.